This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey there, cat lovers. Welcome to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Prim, and I'm a small animal veterinarian and crazy cat lover. So I love having this show to introduce you to fun things that are cat-related. And today, I have with me an author, G. David Sterling, and he is the author of the Black Cat Detective Series. And these books have a protagonist that is a cat and are very enjoyable. So we're going to talk with him a little bit about how this all came about and learn about this book. So we'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. I have with me today G. David Sterling, who is the author of the Black Cat Detective Series. Hi, David.
Hey, Catherine. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm very excited to have you. And for those that are not familiar, can you give us a little bit of an overview of the Black Cat Detective Series?
Sure. Like you said, the protagonist, the main character, is a black cat detective. And he runs his own little shop from a shed, underneath of a shed behind his owner's house. And he solves small-time crime that animals are involved with. But in this first book, his owner, William Shaw, is a detective for the Copper Summit Police Department. And he kind of helps him with this first case. And then there's books after that. Right now there's two books. The book after this one is called The Cat That Followed Phantoms, and then there'll be a third one out this spring.
Okay, so the first one is The Cat That Chased Cadillacs.
Yes.
So he is Beckett Buckleberry, and he's really compelling. And I love that I can tell when I'm reading it that you have cats and that you know cats and that you pull that in. So can you tell us a little bit about how you developed his personality and his voice?
I've been around animals my whole life. I am a video editor. That's my career. And I had been working remotely since COVID. And I was working for a company that was based out of Australia. And our team was in South Africa. And they rearranged the way that they work. So I was laid off about a year ago. And, you know, at the time I thought, this is horrible. But honestly, there's a silver lining in every cloud. And that silver lining for me happened to be now I had all the time in the world to write. I freelance on the side. I do some motion design and editing and shooting. But now the majority of my month is freed up to write. So I thought, this is a perfect opportunity to start something. I've fostered cats in the past. And right now we have two cats. And one of them happens to be black. His name is Panther. And I don't know. Out of all the cats I've had, he is the most mischievous and curious, and he's just a very unique cat with a lot of character and charisma. And I thought, wow, if there was ever going to be a cat detective, he would probably be a black cat. So that got my mind turning, and I started to write a few chapters, not even knowing where things would go. And then, as what happens with a lot of creative endeavors, things just kind of click into place. I thought that I really had something here, so I would spend my day's writing, and I would try to hit 2,000 words a day. And sometimes I had more, sometimes I had less. But in the matter of probably less than 2 months, I had a book. And it took some time to edit. My wife is a very, she understands the English language and grammar very, very well. I had an editor at first, and then I realized that my wife, she's actually working remotely as well. So she was right in the room next door. And so I would bounce things off of her, and she would read what I wrote that day. And before long, I had a finished edited book that I put up on Amazon. And when I was done with that, I moved right into the next one.
Well, I love it. I can hear your voice. It speaks to me. It's fun. So when you were writing, did you outline the story and then go back in and put all the little catisms, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, how did that go?
That's funny. You know, it kind of comes out all at once because I put, you know, I write from his point of view, so it's his perspective. So I kind of, my brain goes into Buck's brain and I write from there. But I don't outline. I think with every book that I do, I have certain scenes that I know that I want to include. So I write those scenes out on index cards and I put them up on the wall. And I guess as I'm writing, I try to connect those dots. And it worked very well with the first book. With the second book, it's a little bit more complicated. And so I did have a finished book at the end, but the ending didn't land, so to speak. So I had to go back in and kind of rewrite maybe the last quarter of the book, which was fine because it made it so much better. But I say that to say that the way that I write doesn't always work. And sometimes I have to go back after the whole thing is written and take out parts and rewrite parts and add in little things. But for the most part, the cat behavior elements of the story are there from the beginning.
Well, I love it. So for my listeners, Buck drinks catnip tea. He does a lot of little quirky things. And as a cat lover, we know that cats do have quirky things. And I just loved it. I just loved it.
So, oh, that's so great.
What do you think the biggest challenge? Do you think the ending for your stories is the biggest challenge?
The ending is a challenge. Yes, it always is. I always have an ending in mind, but the pathway to get there sometimes is never a straight road. So you do have to go back and reevaluate how you get to the end. Another challenge with these books, well, I should say that I've published short stories before. Short stories aren't a problem, but writing a novel, that really does take planning and foresight. And with these books in particular, because they're told from Buck's point of view, I can't have things happen off camera, so to speak. Buck's got to be there to witness it. So there are many points where Buck has to maybe listen to a recording or watch a video of something that has taken place, or he overhears a conversation. He can't be everywhere at once, but it still has to, even though he's a cat telling a story and solving a problem as a detective, it still has to be believable. So that is the challenge with these books, I think.
I agree. I mean, obviously there's a suspension of disbelief in that a cat, you know, makes tea and solves mysteries, but you really nailed making it just a little bit believable. You know, it kind of makes me want to look at the cat and think, do you have an office?
That I don't know about? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. When you sent me the email that you had two cats that do not solve mysteries, I thought, does he know? Does he know if
yeah,
they were?
Am I sure about that? I love crime books, mystery books, and I think that has a lot to do with it, especially older crime from the 50s and 60s. You've got that hard-boiled PI that talks in a very particular way. His cadence is, that's the way every PI talks in those types of books. And I love that. I love reading those novels. Buck's speech patterns tend to follow the speech patterns of those older detectives. And sometimes my wife, when she's reading, she'll go, Dave, I don't know, this just doesn't, I'm not sure if Buck would talk like this. And I have to remind her that he's a detective and he does talk like that. He might not think like that. And there's times when we get inside Buck's brain and he's not necessarily speaking, but he's thinking. And that's when his thoughts are a little bit more eloquent and less private investigator type of a language.
Yeah, my husband and I, he teases me because I'll see things on TV and they'll have a cat saying something or doing something. And I'll be like, oh, cat would never say that. And he's like, cats don't ever say anything, Catherine.
Well, you know, you're right. I think cats are so much different from other animals. And I used to work at an animal hospital when I was smaller. So your podcast really appealed to me. I love the way that you dissect cat behavior. And it's just super interesting to listen to. Now your show is actually in my playlist. I'm going to listen to your shows from here on out. But cat behavior is just so unique. And I do think if cats could speak, they would speak in a way that other animals might not. Like, dogs are happy to be around you. Dogs are carefree and happy-go-lucky. And it almost doesn't matter who they're with. Dogs love everyone for the most part.
Yeah, don't you think cats are more like sardonic?
Yeah.
Yes. Witty? I don't know. That seems silly.
No, it's not. Cats choose you. Like, that's something that my wife says often. Say you're ready to adopt a cat and you go to a shelter. 9 times out of 10, a cat's going to walk up to you and they know that you are their human. If you're savvy enough to pick up on it, you know, you'll think, you know what? This is the cat for me. I wasn't planning on getting an orange cat, but look at the bond that we already have. Cats choose you.
I agree. Well, I'm going to take a quick break and we're going to come back because there's a lot of other things that I want to ask you. So we'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 9 Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. So G. David Sterling and I are talking about his book series, The Black Cat Detective Series. And of course, the one that I'm currently reading is The Cat That Chased Cadillacs. And we've been just kind of picking apart his protagonist and what we think about cats. But do you have a favorite moment in The Cat That Chased Cadillacs?
There's a few favorite moments. I love his interaction with Ariella, who is his messenger. She's a bird. But he cannot control his natural instinct to chase and hunt birds. So whenever they're together, he gives that chittering that that a cat would do with their mouths whenever they see a bird. And Ariella's a little bit timid. She's a little bit scared of him, but knows that he won't attack. And Buck himself knows that he won't attack the bird, but yet he cannot help his feline instincts. So I always love their interactions. There's a point in the book where Buck is caught out in a snowstorm. And though no real harm will ever come to any animals that I have in these books, that's a moment, I think, where you feel really bad for Buck. Because, gosh, if you were caught out in, you know, sub-freezing temperatures in the middle of a large storm, that would be very uncomfortable, to say the least. And Buck, at this point, is miles from home, and he's not exactly sure how he's going to get back. And it's a scary moment. I like that part.
Well, I like that his curiosity drives him, because I think that that's the ringing true part where I'm like, okay, I'm bought in on this. So yeah. We've talked a little bit about how you had a second book, but what's next for The Black Cat Detective?
After the second book, well, let's see. Without giving too much away, in the end of the second book, there's discussion of building a theme park in Copper Summit, where all of this stuff takes place. Copper Summit is a little town in the mountains, which is kind of a tourist resort. There's some ski areas there. There's a little town that has shops and restaurants, and it's just a nice place to be. And it's very reflective of where I live in the northwestern corner of North Carolina. But there's talk of building a train-themed amusement park. And so the third book explores that whole aspect of the town. And I'm actually planning on creating a heist with a bunch of Buck and his friends. So that's going to be fun.
Well, that sounds super fun. So I found on your website that there are some other genres and projects that you kind of want to explore in the future. So can you just touch on that just a little?
Sure. Yeah. I love writing Buck, but I have to say mystery really is not the first genre that I would choose to write in. I kind of like more fantastical type of things, not necessarily fantasy, but I've got two series that I will be writing after this. One is based on a test pilot who consistently tries to break land speed records. And one time when he goes to break this record, something supernatural happens. So that's one whole series. And then another series takes place in a town in which Hollywood monsters exist. So that one is really what I want to get to, but I feel like I've got to finish Buck up first. I've got to finish this other series that I was telling you about first. And then I just want to devote all of my time to that monster series.
Well, that sounds fascinating. So when you're not writing, though, you live in the mountains, you talk about some things that happen there. What do you do to unwind?
I write to unwind. I read a lot, and I haven't skied, but like I said, there's three mountains here that I can ski. So it's actually snowing right now. We've got a pretty big storm moving in, which means that the slopes should get a lot of that. So I don't know. Maybe this week I'll end up going skiing.
Well, be safe.
Yeah, I always am.
So if you could give one piece of advice to aspiring writers, we might have listeners that want to write about their cats or write about anything. What would you say?
That's a great question. I'll tell you what works for me. And writing advice is different for everyone. But you can't write a book, you can't write a short story or even a magazine article until something is on the paper. And that means you have to sit down and you have to write. And it doesn't matter if no words come for 5, 10, 15 minutes. It doesn't matter. You stay in that seat and you write. And having a word goal sometimes helps. But I think if you're just beginning an hour, just devote an hour to sitting and writing, that will force you just to put words on the paper, because without those words, you can't do anything. I know one thing that really helps me is I will write to a point where, say it's the middle of a scene where some action is taking place and I know what's going to happen next and it's exciting, but I stop there for the day, because at least that gives me the impetus to get up the next day and finish that scene up. So there's always a cycle of writing without stopping. That I think those two things are what I would tell someone who's trying to write. But more than anything else, sit your butt down and put words on paper, no matter how long it takes.
Just do it, right?
You just do it. Yep.
And you give yourself cliffhangers. I love that. I never thought about stopping right before an exciting part to make myself go back. That's great.
It's exciting for you because if you stop that way, your brain keeps running. You know, you might not be writing, but your brain is always working. And so you think of more things, and you might even, that might carry you to the next scene or might link a scene that you know happens next. I don't know. Your brain, your subconscious. Yeah.
No, that's definitely good advice. Well, I really appreciate you taking time to talk to us today. Now, I want to take a moment to tell our listeners how to find you and how to find your books and how to follow what you do. So can you share that information with us?
Thank you. Yeah. On Amazon, I've got the two Buck books. The first one is called The Cat That Chased Cadillacs. And the second one is called The Cat That Followed Phantoms. And that's a Halloween themed book. It's scary, but it's so much fun. I also have a website. There's links to the Amazon pages, but there's also a blog where I talk about the writing process and my two cats, and a gallery of artwork and eventually some more photos of cats and cat-type things. That website is blackcatdetectiveagency.com.
Well, I love it. I am so excited. I'm happy that I got to meet you, that I got to find this series. Are you getting feedback? You said that you really like the second book, or you felt like people were even liking the second book better than the first. What kind of feedback are you getting?
It's funny. I had one review where someone said she really was skeptical of believing in a black cat detective, but before she knew it, she was caught up in the entire story and she ended up reading both books. So the feedback is, thankfully, it's all positive. I'm blessed that way. You know, reading that, it just makes me want to write even more.
Absolutely. I've been there. I know. Those good reviews. Right. Well, thank you for your time. It was really fun to get to talk to you. And of course, we always want to thank our amazing producer, Mark Winter. And don't forget to check out the Black Cat Detective series, available at the places that David mentioned. And until next time, this is Dr. Catherine Prim. Go out and have a perfect day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.